Well, it's Boxing Day. Is that it? Christmas gone for another year. Have you started packing the tinsel away? Hopefully not, not yet, anyway. Probably still got some turkey to finish, the odd mince pie to eat. Probably got loads of chocolate left. Anybody get lots of chocolates this morning, yesterday? Yes, we got, oh, David had loads of chocolates. Well done. I had loads of chocolates. But hopefully we haven't forgotten Christmas completely, because it was only yesterday. So before we carry on, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again have been reminded this morning of the great event that we celebrated yesterday, that God became a man. Jesus was born in the stable, and he lived a perfect life that we may be forgiven of our sins. And Lord, Christmas doesn't end on Christmas Day. It's a story that goes on into eternity, which is what we will hopefully look at this morning. Lord, draw us close to yourself, that we would give you the praise and glory, as through the Holy Spirit you speak to each heart this morning for the glory of your name. Amen. As we said, the Christmas story doesn't go away, does it? It doesn't get put away until next year. It is the beginning. Well, not even the beginning. It's part of a much bigger story. But anyway, apart from chocolates, did you get what you wanted on your Christmas list yesterday? There's a few nods. Well, there's a few people still struggling. Staying awake now this morning, folks. Come up late night last night. I got a book, and it's called Brain Games for Clever Kids. Sorry, can we be quiet over here, please? I will struggle with this. I've seen some of them already. I will struggle. But I do like puzzles. I like quizzes and puzzles. I've got a couple for us this morning. They're not from this book, I'm afraid, because I had to find a couple sooner than this book appeared yesterday. So here's one coming up on the screen. 5 + 7 = 2. Yep. No, that's not correct. And it says, move one match to make the equation correct. Now, unless you've seen ones like this before, you might be thinking, what on earth is he rabbiting on about? But if you've seen puzzles like this, we can move one match and make that a correct equation. Oh, hang on a minute, Tim, hang on a minute. Let's give some of the younger ones a chance. Anybody? Thomas and John are having a good conversation. Oh, by the way, while they're working it out, I know full well there are two people who would have loved to have been here this morning, but COVID has kept them away. So happy birthday to Hannah and Joseph. We're missing you this morning. Happy birthday. Any offers? Have I got to go to Tim? John? Sorry, Tim. I'm going to go to John first. Brilliant. Well done. If you didn't hear what he said, he was spot on. It was correct. So you'll see we take the vertical matchstick on the plus and we move it across onto the 5 to make it a 9. And we get 9 take away 7 is 2. Okay, is that what you were going to say, Tim? Oh, you weren't? Oh, well done, John. You're doing better than Tim at the moment. Okay, which way were you going to do it? Oh, no. Shame on you. Oh, there's another one.
Take the vertical plus, move it, and put it as a minus 2. Yeah. So 5 minus 7 equals minus 2.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh. Anyway, that's what wives are for, isn't it? I'll put you in your place. Okay, well done, thank you. Sorry. I got one other one for you. Have a look at this one. Your brains are hurting this morning, aren't they? Now, you have small squares, big squares, overlapping squares. Can see the brains going around. You can't see this online, but there's smoke coming out of some ears at the moment. They're struggling with this. Any suggestions?
Ten.
Nope, not ten. It's not ten. Thomas, you want 11? Well done, Thomas. There's 11. I can't show you on screen, but there are actually 11 small overlapping and big squares on that. If you're not too sure, come and see me afterwards. Okay, we'll move off from that. Have a look at this picture. A lovely family picture. It's not the best quality of picture, but there's a nice family picture until you look at it closely. Don't know how well you can see it. Spotted anything? Oh, I'm glad Tim's awake. Do you want to have a go? Right, that's it. Yeah, the little girl on the left in the picture has got somebody's hand on her arm. Can you see it? You think, where did that come from? And all of a sudden, that picture becomes a bit of a mystery. What was happening in that picture? And if you like mysteries, which I do like mysteries, especially when you've got clues, maybe you've had a book or something from this person that will appear on the screen. Anybody know who that is? Agatha Christie and her famous investigators are Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple. They'll appear on the screen in a second, hopefully. There you go. Miss Marple and Hercule Poirot. So that may be that's your mystery. You like those sort of mysterious novels. But I think the main thing with a good mystery is that you've got the clues in place. Certainly you don't like one of these mysteries and you haven't got a clue, you don't understand what on earth is going on until the very last minute of the book or the film or whatever. But a good mystery should have all the clues in place as you go through the story. And I think that's exactly what we have with the Christmas story. So to many people, that's exactly what we have. The Christmas story is some sort of mystery. They know it's about a baby, Jesus being born. Well, hopefully they know that. But that's about it. That's it. We read that the angels, they said, joy, peace, goodwill to all people. And yet for many, that just doesn't seem to fit with life. It doesn't seem to make sense when you look at the world around us. But if you actually know the story of Christmas and its meaning, it is actually full of mysteries. There are mysteries attached to the Christmas story. There are questions that need to be asked. What is it all about? What is special about Jesus? What's all the fuss? What is this peace and joy that the angels talk about? But the clues are there in the Bible. And that's the important thing. The clues are there. And all we're going to do this morning is briefly look at five mysteries associated with the Christmas story. Now, Tim read for us earlier. It's a very familiar story now. We've probably already heard it more than once over Christmas from Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20. We heard about Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem and the shepherds coming to visit. It didn't include the wise men. That was in the Matthew's version. But for most people, that is it. That's the story. It begins and it ends there. The baby's born, the angels come, the shepherds visit, the wise men follow a star and give gifts, and that's it. Game over. But it isn't, is it? It isn't the start and it's not the end. In fact, it's far from it. That reading was from Luke chapter 2, but here's a reading from Luke chapter 1, just before that, Luke chapter 1, 26 to 28. It says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that was Mary's cousin, John the Baptist's mother, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So that brings us to our first mystery this morning. We read that a virgin gave birth. Anything? No. A virgin? No. Virgins do not give birth. But this one did. This one did. But the clues were already there. 700 years before, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this: "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. And that was 700 years earlier. God was already preparing the way. In fact, even before that, we had another clue of something was going to happen. God speaking to Satan after he had tempted Adam and Eve. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, we read this: "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And that "he" that is mentioned there, we now know, was Jesus. That was the promise. God promising someone to sort out all the wrong and all the evil in this world. And if you read through the Old Testament, you get all sorts of prophecies, which we won't go through them all this morning. Clues, you can call them clues if you like. We've read about, "Unto us a child is born." There's another clue. We know where the baby was born. "From you, Bethlehem, a ruler will come." There are clues throughout the Old Testament, and they all refer to Jesus. But you might still be thinking, but why did it have to be a virgin birth? Well, I believe God chose, really, what was beyond human possibility to actually announce, to signify the coming of the Messiah, his own son. It was impossible normally, but God chose what was humanly impossible to actually announce the coming of his son. And we had in that reading earlier from Luke, he says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." So this baby was more than a mere man being born. He was born both of a human, he was born of God as well. He was the Son of God. God came to earth in human form. You can call him the God-man, if you like. And that is just amazing news. God actually came to live amongst us, and he was born of a virgin. And that's our first mystery. God, Jesus, was born of a virgin. And as we've said, that is now leading us on to something else. The second mystery: God himself became a man. At Christmas, God became a human being. We read, didn't it, the word Emmanuel, God with us. That is what Isaiah prophesied. The clue was there. God is going to be with us. So the question is, the mystery is, why? Why did God need to become a man? Why did he do it? What's the reason? See, God, to be honest, he has every right to wash his hands of us, of this world. We just have to look at the mess we have made of it, even the mess of our own lives. We ignore God and we just go our own way. But the amazing thing is that God still loves us. He loves you and he loves me. See, we can't sort out the mess. We can't sort out the mess of our own lives. We can't sort out the mess of this world. But God can. So he came to this world. God came to this world as a baby to show us how to live. Jesus is God, and he alone could live the way God wants us to. Only Jesus can save us from all that is wrong in this world. So that was our second mystery. God became a man. He was born out of a virgin, and God became a man. And as that man, as we said, he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He didn't do anything wrong. There's a verse in the Bible in Romans in chapter 6. It won't be on the screen, but it says this: the wages of sin is death. Now, if Jesus didn't sin, why did he die? And that leads us to our next mystery, the third mystery. Jesus actually came to die. Yeah, that little baby born in Bethlehem, who was God, he was actually born to die. As we've said, there was the one big difference with Jesus. He lived that perfect life. He was sinless. Even though he experienced all the trials, all the temptations that we do, he never sinned. So according to that verse, the wages of sin is death. If Jesus didn't sin, he didn't have to die. He had no need to die. We will all die eventually, but Jesus came specifically to die. He didn't have to. He was perfect. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to die. His death, some people might think, well, it wasn't an accident of fate. It wasn't just bad luck. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, he chose to die. And an unpleasant death it was as well. He deliberately laid down his life. The God-man was born to die. And we had another clue. Again, going back to Isaiah, we've got this from Isaiah 53. A clue. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. And there's the clue again, isn't there? Jesus, about 33 years of age, hanged on a cross and died. And as he died, he said, "It is finished." Now that doesn't mean, oh, that's it, all over for me, end of the line. When he said it is finished, he meant he has accomplished what he had been born to do. And that's our third mystery we were looking at. He was born to die. But as we said, he accomplished what he had been born to do. So that leads us to our fourth mystery. What did he accomplish by his death? Why did he have to die? Well, the simple answer is so that you and I could be forgiven, that we could be saved from our sins. When Joseph was about to divorce Mary, when he knew she was pregnant, we read this from in Matthew, it would have been, yes, Matthew 1, we read this: "She will give birth to a son." This is God speaking to Joseph in a dream. "She will give birth to a son, and you had to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Because our sin separates us from God. That's what it does. Our sin is putting us first and saying to God, no thank you, bye bye, not interested. And we'll do what we want to do. But by dying on the cross for us, Jesus made that way back to God. Jesus paid the price for our sin, the punishment for our disobedience, our ignoring God, our going our own way. All of that was paid for by Jesus himself. And that means we can be forgiven if we trust in him. So that's our fourth mystery. He died so we could be forgiven, saved from our sins. And finally, our fifth one, you might be thinking, so what? Why is it important to have our sins forgiven? And that's our fifth mystery. What's the big deal? You see, on the third day after Jesus died, God raised him back to life again, showing us that death is not the end. So going back to that verse we mentioned earlier, we'll see it on the screen this time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is eternal life to be had with him, a perfect life. There's some readings from Revelation, just to how heaven, this eternal life is described. Let's see what we've got. This is Revelation chapter 7. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And the Lamb refers to Jesus. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Or this one from chapter 21. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And one more from same chapter. Nothing impure will ever enter it, that's heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, and that's us, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, the Christmas story is God's plan of salvation. Sadly, too often, we want the birth of the baby. We like the story of a baby being born, but we don't want the rest of it. But it's a never-ending story. It goes on into eternity. But notice what the last thing, if we can have that back on, Dave. The last thing it says in that verse, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The first part, that's us, shameful, deceitful. Let's not pretend we're nice human beings. We all get things wrong. We all put ourselves first. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb, as we said, refers to Jesus. In other words, not everyone will benefit from Jesus' death. Only those who trust in him and make him their savior. See, we're not, that means getting our sins forgiven, putting God first. We will not get to heaven by trying to do our best. Sadly, so many people think that's all they have to do, try and live a good life. Sorry, but it doesn't work. If we could get to heaven that way, there would have been no need for Jesus to be born in the first place and then go through that horrible death. If we can do it by our own efforts, we don't need Jesus. Do you actually think that God would send his own son to die as he did, if there were other ways of getting to heaven. No, the Bible makes it clear there is only one way, and that is to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus and to put him as our Saviour. That is the only way. We can't do it for ourselves. Only God can do it through Jesus. And that was our fifth mystery. We need to be forgiven to get to heaven. Sadly, millions exclude Jesus from his own birthday. How many actually thought about Jesus yesterday as they celebrated Christmas? Millions will exclude Jesus from their lives. And it's easy, you know, we can get caught up in all the lights, the tinsel, the presents, the food, the partying. And it's easy to forget about Jesus, the one whose birthday it is. But we need to remember, Jesus was born to die for you and for me. Why? So that we could be forgiven and have eternal life with him. So the big question as we close, the big question is, where is Jesus in your life? Because if he's not your saviour, you will miss out on that greatest gift of eternal life with him. The angel said, peace and joy. Now, when you know your sins are forgiven, when your relationship with God has been reconciled, when you know that you will be in heaven for eternity with God, enjoying that perfect relationship, then you will have that peace and joy in your heart. Got a quote from J.C. Ryle. He was the first Anglican Bishop of Liverpool back in 1880. He said this, "Our Lord desired to impress on his hearers," that was the Jewish people of his day, "impress on his hearers the true character of the Messiah," which was Jesus. He knew at that time they were looking for a king to deliver them from Roman dominion. That's what they were looking for. He would have them understand that the Messiah's kingdom would be a spiritual one over people's hearts. His victories were not over worldly enemies, but over sin. His redemption was not from the power of Rome, but from the power of the devil and the world. And the same thing applies to us today. Jesus' kingdom for us is a spiritual one, over our hearts. Sorting out the government, sorting out other world problems will not get us into heaven. Only sins forgiven through Jesus will get us into heaven. So to recap, final slide. What have we looked at? The five mysteries. The first mystery was that it had to be a virgin to give birth. That's what God signified. The second one was that God became a man because only he could live that perfect life. That was our third one, and die for our sin. And why? So that we could be forgiven. And why do we need to be forgiven? So that we can have eternal life with him in heaven, because death is not the end. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Amen.